Let's see. Mike sounds a lot better this morning. That's nice. I know last week we had a little bit of trouble. It's funny how technology works or doesn't work. You can go with the same settings, and the same settings work just fine for months and months and months, and then suddenly it doesn't work anymore. And so you have to work and try and work through things, but it sounds like we've gotten it taken care of. Well, I am convinced that we need to worship God. An interesting truth about worship is that worship must be directed toward God for it to be true and good worship. But God is not the one who has the need. We are the ones who need it. God has no need because if he wanted to, he could create rocks to cry out to him in worship. He has a legion, multiple legions of angels worshiping him in heaven. And God was fine. He was not upset with himself before he began creation. There was satisfaction in the Trinity and the relationship they had there. God doesn't need our worship. He wouldn't cease to exist if we stopped worshiping him. It wouldn't make him no longer true. If everybody on the earth were to suddenly disbelieve God, he wouldn't disappear. He doesn't need it. But it must be about him. And we need to worship God. It's an interesting twist. Not many other things in the universe work that way. But that's how it is. Worship must be about God. He doesn't need it. We do. So, we have talked about real worship. Worship is the believer's adoring and spiritual response of all that they are, mind, emotions, will, and body, to who God is and what he says and does. And we've talked about different reasons that we have to worship. God answers prayer. God forgives sins. He is good. He is holy. He is our Savior, our hope. He's admirable, and he's our provider. In this last message on worship, we're going to examine why we need to worship God. And specifically, it's because we need to worship God because of the effects that worship has upon us. Whether we realize it or not, and probably at some point you have realized it, our hearts are inclined to worship something. Pretty much at any given time, there's going to be something in your life that is lifted up on a high pedestal. That might be God, or it might be your job, or it might be your spouse, or it might be a hobby, or any variety of things. Our hearts are inclined to worship because we were made to worship. If we don't worship God, though, we fill that inclination to worship with something other than God. And I'm going to say that what we worship changes us. What we worship changes us. First, I want to show you a negative example. Look with me. Romans chapter 1, starting in verse 18. Romans 1 shows us what happens when people choose to worship things other than the one true God. So verse 18, I'll read to about verse 23, and then we'll pick up from there a little later. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world, in the things that have been made. So they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. To sum up what these verses are about, Paul is basically explaining that there are numerous things about God that he has revealed to all of mankind, regardless of whether they have a Bible in front of them or not. These things are observable through nature. One of these specifically is that God is angry. His wrath is revealed through nature. The tumult of the weather, lightning, thunder, disasters, things like this communicate to his creatures that something in the order of the universe is not as it should be. Perfection is not here. Our Creator is upset in some way. His wrath is revealed. And God's great power and divine nature are also shown through the things that he has made. It's clear, just from observing, you know, our eyes, the more you learn about the human body and how impossible the idea is that the eyes evolve just of themselves and all kinds of other things like that, and look at the grandeur of the trees, the beauty of the universe, the more you realize there's a divine artist out there, very powerful, who made all of these things. So it's clear that there is a powerful God up there, and our relationship with him is not right. But rather than seeking the true Creator God, rather than worshiping the true Creator God, mankind chose to worship other things. They ignored that warning, they ignored that display of power, and instead they crafted gods that looked like themselves and held the same kind of sinful desires that they had, and they crafted gods that looked like animals, weak gods, controllable gods made of stone and rock, gods that would do what they want and approve of whatever they want, and value the same things they wanted. People knew about God, they knew there was a problem, but they chose to ignore it, and they substituted him for false gods instead. And so verses 18 to 23, we see mankind choosing to worship things other than God. The following verses show the negative effect that worshiping things other than God brings. Verses 24 to 32 show what the fruit of worshiping false gods is. Let's see how we are changed when we worship things other than God. Verse 24. Therefore, God gave them up in the lust of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to dishonorable passions, for their women exchanged natural relations for those that are contrary to nature. And the men likewise gave up natural relations with women and were consumed with passion for one another, men committing shameless acts with men and receiving in themselves the due penalty for their error. And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Though they know God's righteous decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but give approval to those who practice them. So then, to answer the question, what happens when people choose to worship things other than God? How are we changed? The short answer is we're changed in a bad way. The answer is sin. Any and every kind of sin. Awful things. Heartlessness, ruthlessness, things that maybe seem a little on the milder side, like envy. It doesn't matter. All of it increased and increases as mankind rejects the worship of God and chooses to worship other things besides their Creator. And God looked upon man's choice to reject him and worship other things, and he gave them up to it. He basically said, "Ah, I see that you have chosen sin and yourselves as your God. I'll not stop you. Let's see what happens." And lo and behold, surprise, bad things happened. Mankind made various idols to honor sexual perversions, hatred, meanness, disobedience, so on, everything. The list, I can't really think of anything that doesn't cover. Did these false gods help make the world a better place? No, not at all. We worshipped what we wanted, we got what we wanted, and it turns out what we wanted was actually pretty terrible. And it didn't work out at all like we thought that it should. Instead, our relationship with the source of all good things, our relationship with God, was decimated, and things got worse, and they got worse. We turned away from the Father of lights. We turned away from the one called love. We turned away from the one who answers prayer, provides for us, and made us. And it went badly. That's the short explanation of Romans chapter 1. And the principle I want to draw out from these verses is we need to worship God because if we don't worship God, simple terms, bad stuff happens. Sometimes serious bad stuff. There are things out there that we all love. And there are sins out there that we all gravitate towards. We all struggle. But when we cease to worship God and replace Him with other things, we're changed and not a good way. Even if your heart is worshiping a good thing, you might think to yourself, I have this on a pedestal, but you know, it's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing. God made it. God said it was good. This is a person I love, maybe, for example, you put on this pedestal, or some TV show or book or any number of things it could be that's been created and isn't necessarily a bad thing. And you think, well, I can think of this, and it isn't making me a hateful person. I'm not malicious. I'm not these things. But maybe that thing that is not so bad still is contributing to envy, maybe covetousness, maybe increased selfishness. Let's take a TV show as an example. I can pick on TV shows because I don't watch TV. I'm a bit of a hypocrite, though, because what I'm saying, I read books, and what I'm about to do, I've done doing reading books, too. So, but I'm picking on TV watching right now. Actually, there's really nothing wrong with watching television. You know, we need to rest and have entertainment. It depends on what you're watching. Let's say, though, that there's some wholesome television show that you like to watch and you enjoy it and you think about it and think, there's nothing wrong with this show. And indeed, you know, I'll just grant there is nothing wrong with that show at all. And good to watch a wholesome show. But let's say now that you have to watch that show. It's become on a pedestal, a thing of worship. You have to watch this TV show. And you're watching this good, pure, wholesome show, and your child or your spouse comes up to you and says, hey, and they start talking, you're like, oh, be quiet, my show is on. Josh, I need to watch my television show. We've all done that, I think. I've done that, as I said, I'm picking on TV, but I've done that with books. And to be fair, too, you know, when Jenny's been reading, I've been selfish on my part, too, because I tend to put Jenny up sometimes on that pedestal, and she's trying to read, and I'm like, hey, Jenny, guess what? You're like, I'm trying to read. You know, we all do this kind of thing. But, you know, the short and truth and heart of the matter of it is if, you know, we're watching this show and we have to watch this show and we tell our family, you know, rudely, be quiet, I must watch my show, then haven't we just elevated fiction above family? Haven't we just acted in a sinful, selfish way against our family by turning them away for the sake of something that's not even true? Or if it is true, it's not even maybe directly related to your life. So there, that's an example of how even a good thing you take, you lift it up, and it can contribute to sin in your life. But if you worship God, the creator of the one who made family, the one whom we called Father, then you begin to learn that family is very important to God. And we ought to do all we can to love and cherish our families. So we need to worship God because other things we worship end up bringing problems. Maybe small, maybe big, but problems end up coming. Well, we've seen enough of the negative side of things. Bad things happen. Let's see what happens when we choose to worship God on the good side of things. That comes Romans 12. Romans 12 comes after Paul has explained the gospel, the fact that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and redemption is only found through faith in Christ. And based upon the gospel, he calls upon us, Romans 12, to become worshipers of God, which looks like devoting our entire lives, everything, to God as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. From there, though, we begin to see the fruit of what worshiping God looks like. Verse 2, it says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." So first, worshiping God means being transformed by the renewal of our minds. When that happens, when you begin to commit yourself to God and worship, you find yourself no longer conforming to the world, but instead experiencing a renewed mind. I think if you were to compare the average lifestyle of, you know, a Bible-believing Christian today with the majority of America, you would find some vast differences. And that's because we don't look at things the same way that people who don't believe in God look at things. By worshiping God, we begin to have a different definition of what is right and wrong. We learn from God what His will is and what is good and acceptable and perfect. And I'll tell you what, and I say this without apology, that my definition of what is good and acceptable and perfect is on most points opposite of what you will find in the world today. And that's not because I'm a contrarian individual and that I just want to be different for the sake of being different. It's not that I like being weird and out of place. It's because I know and I worship God, and He has utterly transformed my mind. As we worship God, gossip, slander, malice, unfaithfulness, greed, they all begin to look more and more ugly, because God says that they are, and we love God. And as we worship God, we cease to be conformed to the world. We're out of place. For better or for worse, being a Christian means being out of place. And it's normal. You're supposed to be out of place. If you go to work and you often think when you're there, "I just don't know how to relate to some of these people." You know, they think about things different. Their perspective is totally different. There's gossip, and I don't want to partake in the gossip, and I don't quite know how to just interact in this situation. That's normal. That's normal. When you are a believer, you're going to be different from the rest of the world, and you're going to have a different mindset, and you're going to look, feel, think different. We don't fit in anymore. It's because we worship God. Going on from there, verse 3, "For by the grace of God given to me, I say to every one of you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned." So short note here, I'm going to go through several verses in Romans 12, so I won't say a lot about each one, but verse 3, as we worship God and we see how extremely perfect he is, then pride begins to die. Skip on down to verse 9. It says, "Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil, hold fast to what is good." As we worship God, the one whom John described as love, then our love grows to become genuine. Evil is abhorred, good is clung to. Verse 10, "Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor." We grow in love for one another and showing brotherly affection toward one another, and look for ways that we can outdo one another in showing that honor and that love. Verse 11 on down, it says, "Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine. I will repay,' says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil by doing good. And on and on. Romans chapter 12 is just the beginning of Paul describing what worship of God looks like in our lives and the good fruit that begins to come from it. And so my challenge to you this morning, and my question would be, look through Romans chapter 12 and forward, and look through Romans chapter 1, and ask yourselves, which do I want? Do I want Romans 12? Do I want genuine love? Do I want rejoicing? Do I want harmony? Do I want the death of pride? Do I want to give myself to God and worship? Or do I want growth in envy and strife and bitterness and maliciousness and haughtiness and all those other things? I believe you're all Christians, so I think I know the answer to that. That's why we need to worship God. And that's why even, you know, light things that can come into our lives and end up supplanting God, we need to be aware of and cut those idols down and put back in their proper place God, so that we can grow to be more like Romans 12 Christians, less like Romans 1 unbelievers. I don't know about you, but to me, Romans 12 looks wonderful. Romans 1 looks awful. If Romans 1 is what worshiping false gods looks like, and Romans 12 is what worshiping God looks like, then for me, the choice is easy. I want to worship God more and more. And I believe that I desperately need to worship God. He doesn't need it, but I very much do. In fact, I would say there is no goal in life more worthy than to pursue worshiping God more and more. As we do, other things will begin to fall into their proper alignment. Ultimately, it will mean that you look very different from the world. You no longer fit in. But if being out of place is the price that must be paid to love one another with brotherly affection, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer, to show hospitality, to bless those who persecute, to rejoice, to live in harmony with one another, and so on, then as for me, I hope I stay weird forever, because I want all those things so much, and I need all those things so much, and they are found through worshiping God. Let's pray. Our God, our hearts are just prone to wonder, as the song wrote, prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Over and over again, we are deceived. We just need you. You know, so many times we think, oh, this thing is so wonderful. Let me just devote myself to it. It makes me happy, and it does for a time. And then we realize it lets us down, and there's imperfections in it, and it can't meet all of our desperate needs. And we become angry and just grow in sinfulness. And we, in our hearts, tend to lift up the things that we value most. Our hearts deceive us so easily. So help us, God, to worship you. Just as we conclude this series, as we've learned what worship means and why we should worship, pray, God, that we as a church would grow and grow into deeper, more passionate worshipers of you, God. And this we pray in Jesus' name.